So you want to stop
No, I think we're
Oh,
good. Yes.
okay. It's a little after 1 o'clock. I'm going to open this up to make the roll call, please.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Present.
Commissioner Niemerk here. Commissioner Weber?
Present.
Commissioner Evans?
Present.
Chair Shepherd?
Present. So we do the Pledge of Allegiance in the regular session. I'll open up the adjourn to closed session with conference property. Government Code Section 94956.8, Property Address 750 U.S. Highway 101, Crescent City, California. District negotiators are Mike Rademacher, Cameron Waste, Andrew Flynn, and Sandy Marino. Parties are Sean McGraw, Scott Lahan, and Daniel Dayhan, and price payment terms. So that's pretty much all the three. The C is a little different. Section government section 94956-A, property address, undeveloped land along Starfish Way between the intersection of Citizens Dock Road and Anchor Way in Craig City, California, which is a portion of the assessor parcel number 117-020-016, consisting of approximately 95,000 square feet. District negotiators are Mike Rademacher, Cameron Waste, Andrew Flynn, Sandy Marino. Negotiating parties are Sean E. McGraw and Scott Lahan and Daniel Dayhan. Price and payment terms. With that, we're gonna convene into a closed session. Hey, we're going to reconvene into open session or out of closed session, and there's nothing to report out of closed session today. So with that, I'll accept general general oh we're gonna we did do that. Pledge of Allegiance. Sorry.
All right.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'll have public comment.
Tom Sanders, I just wonder if we can get an update on the Wi-Fi and the cameras and lock gates.
We purchased the cameras, I believe. You got the cameras. They're not up yet, of course.
No, they haven't been brought up here yet. I'm assuming, but probably correct, that they have not been installed because of the weather. They've got to go up there to do it.
And those are the two cameras for here for our parking lot. And down the road, as we get some money, we're gonna try to get them through the bonus.
Okay.
I did get a notification that the cameras have arrived. They just have to come up and
And
install
so
them.
I rec checked the other day, and we did purchase them,
Yeah.
and we haven't got them up yet. The lock gates, I don't have a report on that.
Yeah, you know, this is.
I need money.
Money.
Understood.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Was just curious whether or not we've got something going on in the two RV parks and got some income coming in now, or whether we're still waiting on something, or whether the chaos here in the harbor has scared away more people that would have come in and developed various places in the harbor. I mean, it's been what, a year now, over a year now, that we've had three new members of the board and no movement on getting the RV parks up and running. I suspect there are a number of other potential sites in the harbor that could be generating income. I'm hoping that we can get some sort of an idea when we're going to start a positive cash flow in that respect instead of sitting and waiting and hoping and talking about insolvency. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Well, if there's no other public comment, we will move on then to the consent calendar.
I have my hand raised.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm sorry I can't be there. I have a dishwasher getting delivered any minute now. There was a recent crab feed in Blue Lake that was held by the Mad River Grange. And so I'm like wanting to follow up on, are we ever going to have a crab feed? They charged $75 a ticket. And I can forward you their little flyer if you want, but there's that. And then also, are we going to plan anything for the 4th of July? It's a really big 4th of July and we could have a lot of fun events and we could make a considerable amount of money if we promote it ahead of time.
Well, thank you. Yes, we'll look into that.
Can you guys put it on the agenda? Please and thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. July, okay. Any other comment? Is there any more up on the screen there? Hearing none, then we will move on to the consent calendar. Items considered routine and will be approved by one motion. The public staff commissioners may request specific items to be removed from the consent calendar for separate consideration. Approve the minutes of the February 11, 2026 regular meeting. Approve CSS invoice number 13115-10, January 26, 2026, and approve CSS invoice number 13115-08, November 30th, 2025.
I'm requesting that the MCs be removed. They were not part of a packet, unless they were part of a previous packet I should have referenced.
They were in the packet. What's the provision of insurance? Those came in after the they were sent out. Okay, and that was which one are you removing?
The invoice invoices.
Okay, I didn't see them. All right. Okay. So we'll table that. Okay, then approve of the minutes of the February 11th, 2026 meeting. I don't think we have public comment on the consent calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we do? Not on Monday. Okay, consent calendar or public comment.
I have a question. The two items that you're tabling, they did appear on the harbor website. And are there, I don't understand why you're tabling them if they were available for public.
I don't think those were on the website. The resolution 2026-3 is next on the review.
No, I mean, I'm talking about the two items that you're tabling off the consent.
I don't remember seeing it. That's why I didn't. Yeah, I didn't see it.
I thought I sent them.
Yeah, they were on the website.
You did, but it was after I recent that the
yeah.
So
did they not appear for what 72 hours? Or
yeah, not the invoices.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, it's the invoices you're talking about.
Yeah,
not the
minutes were in there, but not the invoices. Yeah, yeah, I saw that now.
Okay, thank you.
Well,
all public comments.
Is there any other public comment? Okay, back to the board. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes for February 11th, 2026?
I'll make a motion to approve a consent calendar with the removal of items B and C for future consideration.
I'll second that.
Any comments? Get the vote.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
And Chair Shepherd?
Aye. Okay, then moving on to review and vote to approve the resolution 2026-03 of the Board of Harbor Commissioners of the Crescent City Harbor District, confirming district authority and committing matching funds for the 2026 Port Infrastructure Development Program grant application. Is Mike here?
I am here. Hello, commissioners. Pleased to be here today. Before you is the required resolution that MARAD requires each time you apply for these PIDP grants, that you commit 20% of the project costs in match. And so this year, the MARAD has raised the amount that the harbor's available to apply for from $8 million to $11,250,000, which is much closer to the project cost of the construction of Pier 2. So that is great, but it does mean, you know, a larger match. Previously, as pointed out in this resolution, MARAD has allowed the Harbor District to seek grants, non-federal grants for that match. And in this resolution, it says that you will look at going after other grant funds to help with this match. Commissioner Weber called this morning with Mike Rademacher and had a suggestion on item 2 in this resolution, which is to clarify that these funds will be available in the future upon award of the grant, compared to, you know, it sort of implies that, hey, they're on hand right now. And that could be, this could be modified by simply attaching in number 2 after district has hereby committed $2,800,000 of non-federal funds, including district revenues and eligible state or local funding sources, with a new clause to be available in the future, comma, as matching funds for the award of $11,200,000 in federal funding. And that would clarify that the funds would be available in the future. That is mentioned in the memo that the original date that this was due or is due is the end of this week. MARAD has announced that it's going to stay open, but they have not announced when the closing date is going to be yet. We'll assume it's probably extended for 30 days, which is what they did last year. So probably going to be due at the end of March. Happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Yeah, Mike?
Yes.
With respect to the comment on section 2, was our insistence that we're accepting that condition only upon receipt of the grant money to us. Does that weaken our application to MARAD?
I don't believe it does. It is that you're going to be, so as you've had to do with each of the awards, you've actually had to redo this at each award time to restate that you actually now have money on hand. So this award will not be made for probably at least a year from now, could be even a little bit longer. And that has been the time period. They still have not awarded 2025 applications. So you'll need to make that, you'll need to go back at that point in time upon award and redo this step.
And it's anticipated that the state and local grants that we are counting on will step forward and make that money available to us by that time?
If not by that time, by sometime shortly thereafter, because you'll now have the federal grant that we can use to leverage the state funds.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. So what you, the comment you made before, if you could please clarify, I think I was following and saying that what Commissioner Weber is saying is we don't currently have the fund, but once we're granted the federal funds, we will be applying for state funds to match it. And that would go my question on the seventh, whereas most of the way down that first page, it says that we'll have the project costs from revenue tax and tax sources, which just that's not possible. I think most agencies are aware that's not possible, that we can only match through other grants. And so is that why in section four, the last sentence, I had to read this several times, I had trouble following it. The board declares that the board would have adopted this resolution irrespective of the invalidity of any particular portion of this resolution. Please clarify, why would I adopt a resolution if I don't believe in the validity of the resolution?
So I can answer. I think basically it's kind of a standard clause where if a court were to strike down some portion of this, you know, as you know, illegal or something, it's not going to invalidate the entire resolution.
So if the court found part of this resolution a problem with part of it, it won't remove the entire benefit.
Because if you think about it logically, if you're passing this resolution and this were to change in some fashion, somebody could make the argument, well, you might have voted different if you would have known about that change. And so what this does is it basically makes the agreement severable. You can sever portion of the agreement or the resolution and it's still valid. So it just gives you
a way out.
Yeah. You have to go back and pass it again.
Which, like Mike says, we just did it, the same thing on the 225. Once we got everything in place, then we finalized the resolution and signed it, and that was done. And you're saying the same thing's going to happen this one. This is just a resolution so that we can move forward and get the grant funding and look for the matching funds. And then in a year from now, when it all comes together, we will do a final resolution, 2026 resolution, and pass it, and then it'll be done. Is that correct?
That would be based on 20% of the award and whatever the time is then. I think the in the previous comment also about tax sources is we in the grant just quote the proposition, the voter proposition that made funds available to the Harbor District for maintenance and repairs. And so that's the reference to tax sources. We could call that something else if the board wanted to.
The tax sources are referencing Measure C, you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
I would take issue with that in that we haven't completed a Harvard's facilities plan, so that's not possible.
Is Measure C the federal loan?
No, I think he meant the Cal OES, right?
I'm talking about the
USDA loan?
Application. city, the community passed money for the Harbor District to help pay back the loan. And that the wording in that also says to be used for maintenance, new infrastructure repairs, and match at the harbor. So we're quoting from that and just using the phrase tax sources.
Yeah, but Commissioner Niemer is correct that one of the conditions is the approval of the harbor facilities plan. We presented a draft. The board's advisors had asked for some modifications to it, and we'll be bringing that back to the board of supervisors probably in March, by their first meeting in March. So,
I'm wondering if California asked for allow us to use some of the funds for the grant.
We could cut the whole phrase in whereas, if you wanted to, committing 2,800,000 of the project costs from and cut, and then just start with eligible non-federal grants and awards.
Great. That would be correct, accurate as of today.
I think it's semantics. Measure C does allow for us, and it's just if and when those funds become available to the harbor, it's written in there, but I'd have no problem with making that change to that portion of it. So can we make that change to that, Mike?
Sure. Yeah. From revenue tax sources.
Then we, on point six, on the sixth whereas, we are testing that the non-federal matching funds are available. Can we replace the R maybe with a when they're available, we're committing them? Because right now I'm asked to attest that those funds are available.
I would suggest that we can change that to need to be. The required non-federal matching funds need to be committed by resolution to the project. Because that is also an accurate statement, need to be.
Okay.
I like it. Before I get a motion, that the board finish discussing it. I'll take public comment on the resolution 2026. Public comment.
I checked that out with that Seahorse Resiliency. I've been watching the PIDP.
Pardon me, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Jeff Dunlap. I'm with Seahorse Resiliency.
Oh.
And I've also been watching the PIDP grant. And it does state in there that for a small harbor in a rural area, the 20% match can be waived. So that might be something to look into.
Hear that, Mike? Were you aware of that?
Yeah, and so that's what it says, but that's not what it does is it takes it down from 20 to 10, but it reduces your award by that amount. Right. So it does two things, because we've talked to Merritt about this several times. In 24, we did apply for it, did not get it. Then we walked through the math. We just walked through the math again with them. So basically, you would be reducing by 1.4 million on one side and 1.2 million on the other. So in this case, we're just going for the maximum amount of dollars that we can go for, and then 20% on the top of that.
Because the total project is like 14 million. So
the total project is like 14 million at today's costs, and we are at least 2, if not 3 years away from construction.
Is there any other public comment? Well, then I'd entertain a motion for the 2026 approval of the 2026 Port Infrastructure Development Program grant application.
Okay. I move to accept resolution number 2026-03 with the board approved changes, specifically for the whereas number 6 and the whereas number 7. That'd be the proper way to state that.
And the need to be an 8. That's the same. Okay. Excellent.
A second.
Go ahead and take the vote, please.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
And Chairman Shepherd?
Aye. Okay, we're going to move on to receive, update, and schedule board workshop to review, discuss, and make decisions regarding seawall and citizens' dock construction projects.
Well, the good news, commissioners, again, the PIDP contracts have been signed and you can start drawing down funds. There's just a lot to do to get this ready to be able to do that and to get everything that you need under contract. And our recommendation is that really hold a multi-hour workshop and just walk through the project requirements, the grant requirements, and methodologies upon how to get this project so that once you start, it rolls. And Moffitt and Nickel has offered again to we'll be there in person. They'll be there at least by Zoom to talk about the impact of similar projects on operations of small harbors. We'll be talking about the project roles that are in the grant and in the project, project and grant governance roles, schedule, budgets, and the request for proposals that will need to be released to hire your project team. And then board members can add other additional items onto those agenda items.
So what do you want us to do today? Do you want us to make the, have that discussion on this or set a workshop? Or
yeah, set a date and time for the workshop. Be close to your next board meeting. It could be the morning of your next board meeting, day before, day after, whatever you would like. I would say it's going to be at least could be at least 2 hours.
And it should this vote should be public, shouldn't it?
Public, and it should be a discuss and take action meeting.
You have a public session and a closed session on CNJ. The commission should be available.
So we're looking at March, potentially March 4th?
11th.
That's our next board meeting is the 11th. You're talking about having it on the 4th.
A little bit.
So because we were talking about we're having a closed session on the RV parks, and he's saying before the closed session we could have an open session to discuss
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All done one day.
Yeah.
A week's not enough.
A week's not enough. We were going to have this ready for you by the time of your next board meeting to get it to everything that needs to be on the agenda packet.
How about the day before the 10th? Because you said it's potentially a 2 hour. We need to set aside minimum 2 hours. Is that correct, Mr. Barr?
I think that's what you'll need to set aside, yes.
So do we want to do it the day before the regular meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would work for me.
That would work for me.
Thanks.
Yes.
Sure.
That worked for you, Mr. Barr?
Yes.
And so... So what time you want to do it, morning or
noon? About noon.
A lunch? Have a lunch.
I would ask that it not go before 1 o'clock.
Before 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
1 o'clock?
Lunch.
A late lunch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
the 4th.
The 10th.
That's great. Thank you so very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Ms. Barr.
Okay, there we go.
One more item. One more item. A couple of weeks ago, was at the board and presented that there are still funds available from this grant to be allocated. And this is again for engineering, environmental
Excuse me, Mike.
assessment, or
I'm
study.
sorry. I was. I don't want to interrupt, but what we're moving on to is discuss and prioritize potential projects to expend unallocated Cal OAS and FEMA Hazard Mitigation Grant Program funds. So that's. I didn't know if anybody knew what we were talking about. So go ahead now, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I jumped in early. So there is still approximately $400,000 unawarded in this grant with the projects that are going on. There's still money to be spent that's from the awarded side, but there is that amount that is unallocated, unawarded. And so, the board should be thinking about and prioritizing projects that these funds could be used for. Again, it's for studies, planning, engineering, and that could include again, environmental assessments. And so just want to keep this in front of the board that these funds are available to be used.
How is our testing of material for the boatyard going? We're going to owe some money on that. We have that money covered. I believe it was around 33. It was in the 30,000 or something for
Yeah,
that.
do not have a status update of where that is at.
But we don't have money for that yet, do we?
You have money for testing, not for cleanup. This money can be used
You
for
said
testing. It can't
permitting.
be used for physical cleanup or moving or anything like that.
Could this money be used for that?
This money cannot be used for the cleanup itself
Clean
or
up, no.
for meaning. No, but can be used for testing. And so it was, some of it has been allocated for testing.
Mr. Barr, would it be prudent of us to set some of that aside for the construction phase of the seawall or the citizen's dock in case something comes up?
So it cannot be used for construction, but you could set some aside for if additional studies all of a sudden had to be done, the answer could be yes. We would just really, about this time, start thinking about applying for an extension on these funds, which we should probably do. But it might be prudent to be able to do that just in case something unusual came up. It seems to me that most everything has been studied, but right? Sometimes you just don't know. So that could be very prudent use.
So maybe at this time, let's do the extension on it, and we'll keep it on the front burner that these funds are available, and we'll address things as they come along. Would that be appropriate?
Yes, we'll
Could it be
definitely
used
apply
for
for the
like
extension.
could it be used for like a building repair?
Can be used for any, can be used for no construction. It's
Could it
all.
be used for creative, like we haven't finished the tsunami playbook, so could it be used to create a tsunami or finish the playbook and or emergency operations plan?
Yes.
My other question would be, of the 400,000, would you recommend if we're going to apply for extension to reserve that 400,000 through the beginning of the project, or how much of that would you reserve for the just in case?
No, so no individual thing in the entire project cost, I think 160,000 was the most expensive study, individual piece of the study that needed to get done. So I would say less than that.
Could we potentially use this for a harbor's facility and maintenance plan, hire an outside agency to develop one for
Yes.
the harbor? My last request would be to conduct a infrastructure vulnerability assessment, or a, kind of along with that, the an electrical a harbor's electrical survey. So
Electrical.
prior to the tsunami repair, there were electrical issues in the harbor. It is my belief that there are still electrical issues within the Interbow Basin. If we have a real survey done, pedestals, grounding system, transformers.
I wonder if we could have that rolled right into the Arbor's facility and maintenance plan. Just have it all rolled into one from an outside agency. Use those funds for that.
Well, we do have an engineering firm that's doing a building assessment.
So that's what I was getting at, the building assessment, and the but you can't couldn't do the repairs that they recommend on the building, right?
No, true.
But you can use it for that money for that assessment of the building.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest we could potentially expand the scope to include electrical investigation. The other suggestion I was going to have is I get a lot of public feedback about the boat launch, and that might be something we want to maybe have a study done to see feasibility on improving that.
Seems like all these suggestions would roll in and package nicely with the harbor's facility and maintenance plan.
Yeah, thank you.
So with my final question with that, with the harbors and facilities maintenance plan, it should be quite comprehensive. So would it be something that had like a contractor overhead and then subcontracted marine electrician versus building contractor to complete that?
Right. My guess is that's how it would get done. You'd have a lead contractor who'd be subbing out elements.
And so is that responsibility for us moving forward and designating those funds today? Is it going to be presented back to the board with a potential contractor and the cost associated to see if we move forward?
I'm thinking we come back with some numbers for you guys to see different projects and we prioritize them and vote on it. Unless there's something you absolutely know for sure.
What could be in that? Meeting that we're having the day before the we could have those some of them together, and it would be part of that meeting also, because they kind of work together, don't they, Mike?
They could. I'll put them on the agenda also.
Okay,
great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
One update from today on these funds. These funds did pay for the elements that Cal OES wanted in the harbor mitigation plan that they keep marking up. That has been submitted back to Cal OES. They received it and said that they will do a very quick turnaround on the hazard mitigation plan. Again, an adopted plan is needed to spend Cal OES and FEMA funds. So that is back to Cal OES for their fourth review.
Yeah, so that's a prerequisite for the California Disaster Assistance Act funds. With I'll mention that in my CDO report, but that is a prerequisite for getting those funds. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Is that it, Mike?
Thank you so very much, commissioners. You have a great rest of your meeting.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr.
Can you have a comment?
Yes. Oh, yeah, public comment, please.
Can I
you
go?
Save you all off. I'm sorry. Did I interrupt?
No, you're fine. We'll get you, Alicia, next.
Okay, I just wanted to ask Mike Barr before he leaves, or I wanted him to be on there when I ask is what I'm trying to say.
That'd be too late.
I'm
okay, you want to hold on that? Okay, go ahead, Alicia, if you're busy. What is it you need?
I just wanted to clarify. Hi, sorry for interrupting whoever might be there. I can't see anybody. So basically, like when I brought this up at the last meeting, the way it was worded on the agenda was that this $400,000 that's left from the grant was a specific hazard mitigation grant. And it had said on the agenda that it was to address tsunami and sea level rise, physical and economic hazards in the Harbor District. And so that's why I was advocating for introduction of oysters, because they can create a reef. So even if we're not using it, using oysters in this instance for aquaculture, they're really amazing creatures and they do wonderful things for the ecosystem. So I'm just going to abbreviate from what I did research-wise. It said restored oyster reefs often lead to measurable increases in water clarity, biodiversity recovery, enhanced fishery yields, and strengthened shoreline protection. So the shoreline protection is a huge mitigation thing that we need to do because of the erosion. And so the oysters are really great at holding back and helping with way less erosion. And then they're amazing water filtration animals, and we really need that. I've heard from a lot of people about how bad the water quality is there in the harbor area. And I don't know if that's just from the vessels leaking or what, but I've seen it myself that there's like, it looks like oil slicks and stuff like that. So I just really want to advocate for introducing oysters. And I think because we have all that, I don't know if they call it riprap, probably saying the wrong thing, but we have all the rocks and things that we can introduce the oysters to. So it would be like just adding them to the existing infrastructure is what I'm advocating for, somebody looking into that with the money.
Was that asked to Mike Barr? Is that that could be included in there?
Yeah, because I mean, the other piece of it was I wasn't sure if they already did something, if they even looked into this with the South Beach, or excuse me, the South Harbor Habitat Restoration Site, because there's been so much stuff that people have done that I'm like, well, maybe they looked into this, but I don't remember anybody ever bringing it up. So that's kind of like why I wanted to bring it up right now, because this could be an opportunity where we could look into that and see whatchamacallit, what is this, the mitigation, yeah, like the mitigation and like the logistics of how we would do that, how much it would cost, you know, stuff like that, so that it could be an option to use money, because this is for planning is what I'm getting from him, is that this is for planning purposes, not for construction or implementation purposes.
Okay, Alicia, yeah, your time is up. Thank you. And we're planning on a meeting on the 10th of March at 1 o'clock. And I think we're going to talk more about this and the previous discussion on the Cal OES money. So that'd be a good time to, I put down oyster research for water quality. So thank you very much.
Okay. Everything all right?
Okay. Everything's good.
We saved some time. You've got a list already of everything needs to be done in the harbor. If I remember back about, I don't know, a year ago maybe, when we put that report together, Mr. Rutman. Inside there, out of all those pages, there was a list of everything that had to be done in the harbor, or basically close to it. I would say, Jay, I love your idea of having, you know, let's get it going, but we also need a list of exactly what needs to be done, so when it does come, we have a plan, we have what exactly, and the cost, and everything needs to be inside there. So the work is already there. We already have it in place. We just got to go dig up everything and kind of look at it realistic. For our future look.
And prioritize.
Yeah. Right now, this is way in the future thing. You know, we basically, good ideas always come from past, you know, combination of talks. But on the other hand, we also got to look at realistic look. Look, I mean, that's a lot of money. And there's a lot of things that we need to be fixed here. But there is a priority, like you were saying, right? We need to take care of this first before we can get to that. And this list that we've already created, which is already in there, it gives us that idea. So, yeah, I thought I'd pass that on to you because I was reading a lot about it. That's why.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you. Boom. Any other public comments?
Oh, shoot.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to approve revised ordinance code fee schedule and authorize publication prior to final adoption of an upcoming meeting. We went through this a month or better ago and made most of the changes that we needed. There was just a few left. I've been through them. I think, Sandy, might speak on it, but I think she pretty much just went with kind of what Brookings was doing. So, and the big changes were we were out of line in some of our fees on storage, and we brought them into perspective. The what's in red is the changes, and they look fine to me. What's the board feel on the changes? Anybody, any comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a concern on page 2 in the middle, right below that heavy blue line. I see in your Senator Collinger, where are various references to equipment only. And then just immediately to the right of that, it says includes operator. So I'm not sure if an operator is included in those fees or not. It's just equipment. And then I have a growing concern about us renting equipment. I don't think we should be renting it because it may go to somebody who doesn't have to operate.
Well, that's why, excuse me, can I answer it? I think that's why the ones like the mobile crane, you have to have a professional operator. That's why operators included the backhoe. All those are, I think the only ones that we're renting, and I think Ann brought these up because Brookings does it, you know, like a truck, one of our trucks and forklifts and stuff like that. I think those are things that, you know, all you need, you'd have to have a driver's license or something to do. But I think all the ones like the landing craft, you have those includes operator. That means it has to have an operator. You can't rent it without an operator because it's illegal to run those without a licensed operator.
Yeah, I was just concerned because the middle column there indicates equipment only. If you look at that, they take a backhoe per hour, minimum 1/2 hour, equipment only. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's just the backhoe only.
Well, I know, but we don't want people to run around with the backhoe. Well,
no, you can't because it, you know, you're required. Yeah, okay. How do you want to change it?
Well, I just think that we shouldn't indicate in this ordinance.
Just cross out equipment only?
Yes.
Make it look like the forklift says comma includes operator.
That's right. Who's operator? And then those are my suggestions, sir.
Anybody else?
Well, I have a question for Ms. Moreno. I know you've gone over this fee schedule probably pretty extensively. And if we were to accept these changes as they're written, what kind of fiscal impact is that going to have for on revenue for the harbor moving forward?
Yeah, it's going to be positive. But I do have to say that some of it I still don't get. I don't know the industry well enough in the mortgage rates and things like that. So even though I listened to the all of the discussion, I'm not quick enough to do that. But that's what I look to Christina for, because she gets that. And that's why I want to ask her about these. When you guys were just having a discussion, I was asking her to get me a payroll report that I have that talks about burden rate. They were just talking about here, these rates here, and it says equipment only, but then it says includes operator.
Yeah.
I don't think that price includes operator. I think that's equipment only cost.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed to come up with a burden rate.
The suggested modification was that they include the operator, and it doesn't, it's not just equipment only. That's what they suggested. That's why I made it includes operator.
So that figure is going to be
that's
including the operator.
Yeah.
And yet we know that the operator costs are $100 per hour per person. So we're not getting any money for our rental.
No, not a lot, no. Well, but that's what currently, like the mobile crane would be $140 for the mobile crane and $100 at the burden rate. That is currently what is established practice in the harbor. With the harbor provides maintenance staff to run all these equipments. That's how it's done based on these rates. Even though it says equipment only, that's not how it's done because they have to be licensed.
Yeah, that's what the rates are for those that equipment, right? Yeah, it's $188 an hour. Yeah, that's, and then we've raised that. Not this fee schedule, but we have over the, it used to be way less than that. But I mean, those, you have to have an operator, and 240 for the mobile crane, that's higher than it was even last year. So I, the last time I got it, it was 180. So, I mean, that's what you, that's that you, you pay for the mobile crane, and you get an operator for that price.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was verifying it.
Okay.
She's got a really good handle on it. She does all the billing, so she knows really well about these rates.
I have a couple questions. Page 4, we talk about the electronic key fob. And so we're going to change our rate down. I currently, I thought our rate was 75, not 42, but it changes it to $5.53. So does that mean I should bring my key fobs in and get $30 back for each one of them? Or, I mean, well, if we change our key fob rate to $5.53, I would bring mine back to get a significantly cheaper one. First of all, I don't need it right now, but secondly, I think the harbor's going to be spending money. I know we're, or is this 553 how much the harbor spends on the fob, and then we're deciding what the rate is? That what PDK means?
Yes.
PDK means we don't actually know what our rate for the key fob is yet?
No, 553 is what the harbor spends per key fob.
Okay.
And we need to figure out how much we want to charge.
Any suggestions? Say with the current, it says 42, but I spent 35 on mine. So I don't know when that was changed.
I remember it was 30 at one time. So we've gone up with inflation. The 42 is not right.
Well, there wasn't an ordinance, a fee schedule change from the time I got mine to now. So I don't know how it changed.
When did you get it?
2 years ago. After the last,
We did a fee schedule 2 years ago.
My point is, what could the rate be if it's 553 and this one's 42? Are we going to get people coming back in here to return theirs to get a cheaper rate if we set it at $10? What should the rate be? Is there a suggestion from staff or
not less than what you've been paying?
So what was this is 42. What is the rate being charged to somebody who walks in, or the last person that walked into the door? Was it 42? Was it 30? Was it 35?
The last time anybody got bought a key fob was over a year ago when the gates worked. I actually don't know, because it's been so long.
And is it possible that we can look that up quickly so we can get a number so we can move forward with publishing this?
It was 35.
35. Yeah. Why don't we just keep it at 35?
Above that, it has a $50 parentheses burden rate. So is that another item we must make a decision right now on?
We want to publish, we do. And what was that, a $50? Where was that?
$7
clerical processing fee general.
$7 above.
But yeah.
Clerical processing 90. Fee. Oh.
There it is. It's highlighted on the screen.
I meant we discussed that, and that's what we went with, isn't it?
Come down to $50 from 90 to come down to $50.
And that's why it's in blue. Yeah.
$50. Yeah.
What's
that
question mark? Do you
want to
say yes or no?
Oh, I got you. Erase the question mark.
Yeah, we can't publish a question mark.
No, we can't publish a question mark. Okay.
I'm going to pay that.
The last key fob was $42.
The last one was $42. I recommend that we just keep it at the rate that it's at for the key fob.
Well, that's what Sandy said, don't lower that.
Yeah, we'll just keep it at.
When we actually work, maybe we could. Yes, again. Maybe the new, we change anything, they might be more expensive.
All
Are there any other, I do have a question, credit card processing fee. I know we've requested that you look into this. It says ACH 1%. I didn't know banks charged an ACH fee. Keyed 3.5%, is that keyed means the credit card?
Merchant, usually.
And so the card, our card rates are 2.99%. That's what we're passing on. The keyed rate is a merchant rate, and that's what they are. So we're passing that on. The ACH, our bank charges 1%.
I'm actually in the process right now of trying to speak with our banking representative to talk about all of those fees and how we are currently being assessed and how they might change. So, I think you go with a 3.5 credit card processing fee. That is kind of a standard merchant fee that most of them pay. And that way we're not finding out what kind of card are you. It's just a 3.5 if you're going to pay with a credit card. And we want to be talking about changing our merchant and maybe doing it a different way to where it doesn't cost people as much money. But you guys want to get an ordinance thing out, so we got to go with where we're at now.
So these percentages, they would cover the fees?
Exactly.
Okay.
Could this say must match current rate from the merchant or current credit card rate?
I think that'd be great. That way, if it does change from the bank, it automatically lowers if it benefits the consumer.
Yep.
Or if it goes up, unfortunately, we wouldn't have to come back to this ordinance.
So we'll change that to what was that?
I think Annie had
what was the, how was it worded?
Match merchant / credit card.
Implementation of that is going to be difficult, and you know currently we don't charge them for the credit card fees.
We currently do not, so we are losing money.
That's right. So how do you charge something before you find out what that credit card rate is?
Well, I think like what Ms. Niemer said is that the current rate, whatever it is.
Yeah, right? But I'm making you you're going online and paying it, but that. Sometimes that number will change. So how do we go about going back and knowing? And then, you know, they have different rates for different kinds of credit cards as well, right? Is it American Express or is it the other one? So those are all like after the fact kind of things.
Well, maybe we can do a yearly review on the credit card processing fees. Just have it scheduled yearly that we review the credit card processing fees from the various companies and then adjust yearly.
I was hoping along with that we could actually, in the ordinances, remove this so it can be done yearly without doing the ordinance republishing. This should be an annual event with the budget.
Okay, remove credit card processing fee total.
No.
I mean, no, from the fee schedule, but we'll put it in a...
Well, I'm saying is to go along with line with Commissioner Evans is that the fee schedule as a whole be done at the time of the budget every year, so it's adjusted with CPI or merchant fees. This should be done annually, but it's in the actual language of the ordinances, we state that so that this isn't part of this ordinances package, because ordinances don't generally need done every year, but the fees do.
Right.
Then let's keep it flexible and have it as merchant rate. Then merchant rate, and then this is what we're not making any money with it. We are recouping whatever is being charged to us. Let's have the lowest merchant rate.
Okay, so that's the way we'll just put that merchant rate.
Yeah. Whatever it is at that point.
As of July 1st.
Well, you're looking for a date, but this doesn't go into effect until we've agreed to it. It's been published, it's come back, and then approved.
And they've made it to where it only has to get published once, so it's just been expedited.
But you're talking about reviewing it, or the price will go every year, right? So it'll be whatever that price is at July 1st of every year, because we'll do the review in May.
My thought is the merchant fees go in once this is approved. And then every year during the budget, this will come back up. This year, we wouldn't do it during the budget. We're doing it right now, 2 months
before the budget. See, the difference is the merchant rates are not dependent on us, established by some other organization. All the other fees that we establish those. And so if we keep it very, very global,
yeah,
and it's more a procedural thing and it's posted here, this it is what it is.
We're like
not
merchant,
making
right?
any money.
Like,
you know, we're in the middle of like, a merchant review, and what will be interesting about all that is the RV part as its own merchant, as the office of merchant service, and we have our own merchant service in house. We are probably different rates. So it's as applicable.
I'm just going to keep going through this. With my last comment at the ordinance.
We're good to go?
Yeah.
Okay, we left off with finalizing our fee schedule and ordinance. And I think we left off with Anne. Were you finished or you still had some things you were going through?
I'm currently just looking at the actual ordinances online to see where we need to edit to pull that fee schedule out. And other than that, I'm done.
Did I talk about the under maintenance and crew services, the personnel labor? There was that part in there about the burden rate, the very first line. It's 180 per hour between 7 a.m. and...
What page?
Page 2 of 10.
Oh.
The very first item. Right now we're charging $180 an hour. And it was being recommended that we bring that down to $100 per person per hour. So if they needed a two-man crew, then it would be $200 an hour. So that's one of the changes I think you talked about making.
Yeah, I wanted to make it so that we could use the staff. In my opinion, the prices were set so high so that we wouldn't use the staff.
Right.
We being fishermen.
So just the get rid of the burden rate, it's going to be 100 per person?
That's right. So that rate over there, instead of it being 180, it would be 100, and we stipulate that that's per person.
Yeah, well, Anne's looking for that. Does Frank have a comment on the fee schedule and ordinances?
Well, I would just request that before we publish it, we find this exact clause in the ordinances and I don't know what the exact clause says, but make it so that the fees, that we will reference the fee schedule. The ordinances will reference the fee schedule and not that the fee schedule is within the ordinances.
Okay. Let's approve. I would entertain a motion to accept the changes and the reference to the fee schedule onto the ordinance.
Get all the changes in there, Mr. Radmaker?
We'll listen to the recording.
Yes.
Okay. Make sure we got it.
Make sure you get all the changes. But at this time, I guess I'll make a motion to approve the ordinance code fee schedule for the year of 2026.
Can I request that we have it on the consent calendar, the whole ordinance and the fee schedule at the next meeting to ensure there's no more changes before it goes to publication now that we're ratifying as is, in case there's typos or whatever. We aren't paying for a publication and all that last time.
Sure. Yeah. We could do the special meeting on Wednesday if you want.
This one? No.
All right, next Wednesday.
Just for that.
No, because we get the other meeting already, you know, planned for the closed session.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Have it done by then. Yeah, we're going to be here. Yeah. It should be quick.
Consent agendas.
Okay.
So right now there's a motion on the floor to accept the ordinance fee schedule with no second. That motion.
Second.
Okay. Well, I think the consensus right now is that we just have it finalized and bring it to the next meeting that we have for full approval. So without a second, my motion would fail at this time. And then we would just continue this to the next meeting. And I think that's what, with all the changes made, correct?
Okay. Yeah.
But we do have a second at this time, so I believe we do have to take a vote on the original motion to approve it at this time.
which means we would not be bringing it back at the next meeting.
Yes. Commissioner Niemer?
No.
Commissioner Schmidt?
No. We are going to bring it back at the next meeting.
If this motion fails.
Well, then I'll vote no.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
No.
And Chairman Shepard?
Aye. So we'll bring it back in the next meeting for final approval.
All the changes.
On the consent agenda.
On the consent agenda, yes.
I move for that.
All right, then we're moving on.
But I think we're there with the fee schedule.
Yeah, we're there. Just we got to make sure that they get printed properly.
Correctly.
For the publication, and that's. Consider the Trump administration's maritime action plan and its implications for CCHD and approve an advocacy letter to the federal congressional delegation. I think Mike's been working on this. He worked on the letter.
Mr. Chairman, I read the entire packet. It's self-explanatory. Nothing surprising or controversial. I move that we approve your signature on the letter. Go for it. We don't need to spend a lot of time on it.
I'm good with that. I'm always good with that. We're going to have public comment, of course, but any other board?
I'll second the motion at this time.
Okay, yeah.
Public comment.
Have a public comment on the... Mike can run you down. It kind of started with
Senator
Schiff. So, anyways, it's a bipartisan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this plan is was put forward by the Trump administration, but reaching out to the congressional delegation, there seems to be widespread bipartisan support. So. We feel like it's realistic that a lot of these things are going to come to fruition. And in the letter, we're highlighting two things that are part of the plan that we think would be most applicable to our district, which is focusing on dredging and also this potential education component. This Maritime Academy thing would be pretty small, and we haven't really had substantive discussions about this yet with Congress, with our representatives, but Senator McGuire has been a real advocate for education. He was instrumental in the Cal Poly Humboldt change, and I just briefly spoke to him after the economic summit last year, and he was pretty excited about this concept, so we'll have to really flesh out the details, but I think it could be another source of revenue, and it could be good for the community. And there does seem to be some interest in this within Congress and within the administration. So I think it's worth exploring. So,
I'm happy to hear you staying with it. Public comment. I see Alicia, you're up here for public comment. Alicia?
Sorry, I was navigating. Sorry, I wasn't fast enough. I'm just saying because there's not really a whole lot of specific things in the letter saying how you plan or suggestions to expanding the economic, because it says right here in the front opening paragraph, expand our local economy. Well, I mean, at first it says address critical infrastructure needs, and it says expand our local economy and contribute to the national maritime revitalization effort. And then I'm looking for those things to be highlighted in the other paragraphs, and I'm not really seeing much. I'm just seeing, in other words, like I'm not seeing how you're tying it to this example is going to hit, you know, the local economy piece, or this example is going to be for the infrastructure. Like you're just kind of mentioning some stuff, but not tying it back to that. So I'm just want a little bit more information on what your ideas are with that. And then the other piece was something about I think it was an Australian specific type of ship that was compatible with our harbor because of how shallow it is. So I just wanted a little bit of information on, did you actually reach out to them or you just did some preliminary internet research? And that was basically it.
Yeah, we were negotiating with them a few months ago. I guess it's been probably about 6 months. And they are gravitating towards Mobile, Alabama. They haven't made a decision, but they've kind of ruled us out. We're not really in the running anymore for that particular operator. But yeah, so in this letter, the economic, you know, expanding our local economy really is tied into this maritime workforce development. So that's where the satellite, you know, campus of the Maritime Academy would come into play. Probably working with College of the Redwoods potentially, because, you know, they can do a lot of the administrative overhead. So, I mean, it's in the very formative stage. This is just a concept. There seems to be some money out there that Congress is looking at. So we want to, you know, obviously be proactive in trying to get any kind of new revenue sources we can possibly conceive. So this is just an example of that.
I guess I'm not sure what's meant by maritime workforce development. Like, what maritime workforce could be, like any number of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's intentional. We want to keep it, you know, general so that we can tap into a lot of different programs, certification programs, degree programs.
We're just letting them know we're here and that we're receptive to any, you know, anything they could throw our way.
I'm sorry, I just remembered one other thing. So when it was mentioning dredging, and then I remembered that the Army Corps of Engineers had like a equipment breakdown. So is this something that they're going to be upgrading, that sort of stuff, through this overall strategy for the maritime, sorry, I can't remember what it's called, that America's Maritime Action Plan, do you know?
Well, so they're looking at a couple of different things. I mean, one of them is expediting the permitting process, and another one is just having U.S. ACE, U.S. Army Corps, do some studies to see which harbors have a need for dredging, which we would definitely qualify for that based on my discussions. I mean, in my CEO report, I'm going to talk about some emergency dredging that we're working on, but I think we'd be a very good candidate for this program. And the goal is to get to dredging for increased depth. Perhaps, you know, we do have some bedrock issues in some places, but we could probably get a deeper than 20 feet. So that would make us more attractive for, you know, a larger variety of vessels to be hauled out. So that's the plan.
Okay, thanks, Alicia. Appreciate your input. And this is kind of preliminary, and hopefully it goes somewhere, and we can this letter will be heard, and they'll get back to us. So I have a motion on the floor. Is there any more public comment? No. Bam.
I believe the last airport authority meeting, they were talking about making the Crescent City Airport, in conjunction with College of the Redwoods, pilot training hub and a mechanic, aircraft mechanics hub. But be aware that they also discovered that there's substantial upfront costs in order to establish such a program for the airport. The funding is probably not available due to their split circumstances. I'm just wondering if the harbor's going to have the same kind of problem with the upfront costs for those kinds of programs.
This may be where the money could come from.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, for education. But it's for education.
Be aware that it's the upfront costs for, you know, in the millions.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Part of my manuscript I'm working on, a big manuscript that I told you about, you know, I'd like to really take some of this, what you have here, Mark, and I want to kind of maybe incorporate it into the emergency services of sort of like like what's the structure and what kind of safety precautions we're going to need, what kind of equipment area, what kind of zoning we're going to need, you know, for like we got going on right here. And I just want to know if I have your permission, if I come up with something to pass it on to you, if we come up with something out of this. Is that good? But I'm not going to give you no 500 pages manuscript. You know, you'd be sitting there reading over the next 6 months like, this guy's crazy. You can't believe all this stuff in there. But no, I want to take that and it gives me focus points to work on, okay? I'll be working on that over
take any suggestions
by next meeting.
Always okay? Take suggestions from the public, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'll be I'll just send it in, you know.
Be great.
Great.
Yep,
okay,
thank thanks. You. Alrighty then. Motion on the floor and seconded. Can we get a vote on it?
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
And Chairman Shepherd?
Aye. Okay, communications reports. Dan, what have you got to report?
Well, I was at the Sheriff's annual status report presentation at the Veterans Hall last week, I think it was. And I talked to the under sheriff, can't remember his name now. He was a former boat safety officer for the Sheriff's Department. And they still have a very strong interest in moving into the Coast Guard building once the title and availability of that building had been resolved. So the sheriff still wants to put their boat safety unit there at the Coast Guard. That's my report. I have a number of things I want to talk, but I should certainly wait till others is open. Among the things I want to talk about is I had a journalist, a harbor-related journalist, send me a press release from the Department of Fish and Wildlife about an enforcement action that took place here in the harbor. I gave you each a copy of it. And apparently some fish processor and fishing enterprise was found civilly liable, not criminally, civilly liable for having falsified certain documents in order to avoid paying fees to the government. But it's stated here very clearly. And that resulted in a $40,000 civil penalty and a 3-year probation period. I don't know who that person is. I went to the DA's office and prosecuted the case. CDFW, they didn't know. The courthouse, the judge that's mentioned is the presiding judge, didn't know. So I turned to our people to find out if they know anything more about this. We got that further identified.
No, they've been keeping it anonymous.
Okay.
Yeah, I know who it is, but I'm not at liberty to say anything about it.
Very well. I think it's something that we should be concerned about, because if it's going on to the point where it's being investigated and search warrants are being issued, we should alert our fishing fleet to tighten up their practices if there's any non-compliance taking place. Furthermore, we don't want the Harbor District as an entity to be caught up in violations. So I think that's important. I noted that a month or more ago, I'll say it, flip-flopped on approving an order or a lease agreement with out there on the Fisherman's Catch. And we had quite a discussion on that. We had 3 special meetings to consider that. And finally, I voted to go along with a slim majority and approve that contract. It was stated by the other 2 favorable members that the Harbor District's concerns basically ended with the money that's owed to the harbor. And was not concerned about any money owed to the fishing fleet by this fishing processor. part of the contract specifically spelled out that Fisherman's Choice wants to pay the harbor the $14,600 in back rent and back fees the day after the contract was approved. And I found out that they had never paid that in the past 5 or 6 weeks. And so I'm concerned that we approved a contract which failed on its terms by the failure of the party benefiting from the contract to pay the harbor the back rent that was owed. It would be my suggestion that we allow the other two parties who were tied up in that lease operation to take over the entire lease, and that we evict the offending person so that the two that remain work in compliance and go forward, and the guy who keeps basically harming our fishing fleet and the harbor itself be sent on his way, sent packing. So I'll be happy to go into more detail if there's any interest in that. And finally, as we begin to entertain thoughts about leasing out the car wash or the maintenance shed or the vacant lot next to Jambalaya or other places, I think we need to think about creating a land use planning program where we, as a commission, approve the kinds of uses we want on every single parcel within the harbor. We know that this should be food-related retail. This should be entertainment retail. This could be light industrial. This could be, you know, retail commercial. Know in advance what we want and where we want it for a number of reasons. That will allow anybody who wants to bid on putting up something and developing those parcels a very good chance to see what it is that will be approved. We can have it broken down into three categories. One is, these are the approved uses for each parcel. These are conditional uses that can be granted if there's a proper hearing. And these are uses that are not permissible. So you can't put something in certain places because it will interfere with the use and enjoyment of adjoining properties. So I think you need to do that. Have a land use planning function.
I was part of a four-year project that we finally got it through Coastal Commission and the Water Board, so it's already there, Dan. Took us 4 years to do it.
Okay. A lot of good work. I think we need to make it part of any kind of RFP that we issue.
Well, it goes to the Coastal Commission, so if it was okay by the Coastal Commission, and if it's not in our land use plan, it can't be used for anything that's in the land use plan that they agreed upon. It took them 2 years to agree on.
Okay, but if it's approved, you know, all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted, then when we issue an RFP on a particular parcel, we should alert those people who have an interest in, say, the car wash, knowing that it cannot be used for some obnoxious use, like car repair or whatever. Just say, this is what's allowed, this is what's not allowed.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we could laugh about it now, but I'm trying to avoid another year-long delay in getting these RFPs approved because we just can't figure out what it is we want or they want to do. If we clarify that up front, we'll know from their responses to the RFPs what their proposal actually is. We're not deciding if they're going to put in cabins or RVs.
Well, no, front. Okay. I'm laughing about, Dan, as I just said, it took us 4 years to do a land use plan for the entire harbor in Crescent City, and it took 2 years for the Coastal Commission to pass it. And then after it got passed, that is what the land use plan for this harbor is for each piece of property that's in harbor property. So I'm just telling you, you can't just do that, what you're saying. You have to get it approved by Coastal Commission. It takes 4 years to do it, and we already did it.
And we have it published on the website.
And it's published on the website, the land use plan.
As so part of the RFP process.
Huh?
As part of the RFP process.
Yeah, it's in this. This is the RFP that's currently being solicited.
Yeah. And the RFP process as a RFP.
Very good. Thank you. That's it.
The staff is now making available all documents that need to be signed at the end of the meeting. So that's fantastic. And we've been trying to get that done for quite some time. So to reiterate, as commissioners, please hang tight to make sure you're signing documents at the end. Also with that, the poundage fees are current this year. So it's been a long time coming, but thank you staff for staying on top of poundage fees this year and ensuring those are coming in on time. I really appreciate it. I spoke with our lawyer, Ryan Plotz, via email regarding two different matters. One is the W-2 1099. I also spoke with staff about that, and I'm hoping to have that corrected before April tax deadline. The email to Ryan Plotz was I reached out to our auditor. Currently we're in an audit, he's a CPA. I was hoping he would be able to answer that issue. So I reached out to him. He is the one who suggested I contact legal counsel. In the conversation with the auditor, he stated we are missing audit information. It is not due to illness or HARP holidays. So I'm hoping that we are nearing completion and have provided those documents to the auditor. I reached out to Stephen Hines of the U.S. Coast Guard to determine if that had moved forward. Stephen Hines verified that the Coast Guard has approved the deed moving back to the harbor. That part is finished. Due to the DHS being on hold right now, there aren't funds available. As soon as it reopens, he will reach out to staff and hopefully the chair to figure out who needs to sign and a Zoom meeting to establish a notary once funds are available. So we're waiting on DHS to reopen to officially get the Coast Guard Station deed. I also emailed Ryan Plotz regarding Fashion Blacksmith at our last meeting. It was closed session. He was not present, and I was waiting to hear from him. When I did not hear from him, I emailed him to ask how that was going. Again, I'm hoping we hear more about that matter. It's pending. We're supposed to pay March 5th. I'm hoping we hear what's happening there. I spoke with Norm Mount's representative of Senator McGuire's office. She wanted me to ensure that we apply for the CDAA, California Disaster Assistance Act application form. It came out officially in December. I believe Mr. Rademacher will be discussing that during his report today. That's it.
Okay, Commissioner Weber.
Okay, this is going to be quick. I have nothing to report.
Mr. Evans.
Nothing to report. It
does not have to report for me. Thank you guys for that fine, that really nice report. Powermaster report.
So we're working on a energy audit to go through all of the tariffs that are being assessed. Different meters, looking at a broad range of utilities to try and identify some cost savings. And this is a contract that we approved, the board approved, where the this energy audit firm gets to keep 40% of the savings.
Oh, we're using it finally. I haven't heard anything about that in a long time.
Yeah, it's moved forward. And then like Commissioner Niemer mentioned, we have been working on the California Disaster Assistance Act application. It was submitted and we got confirmation today that it was accepted. So the next step is Cal OES is going to come out and do a week-long visit, site visit, It'll probably be the next 2 weeks or so. We haven't scheduled it yet, but we're just trying to work out availability of their staff and our staff. We're also doing an audit of Coastal Business Systems. Does free audits of like managed print services and different office expenses to try and identify cost savings. So they're going to look at our printer and see if there's a way they can lower our expenses on that. Spending a lot of time on RV park negotiations. We're getting really close. Spending time on the debt restructuring. There's been a lot of positive developments with that. Nothing that I can really say publicly yet, but we've had some really encouraging developments. I think we're going to be, you know, we're going to survive. Working on the PIDP grants ramp up. That's really kind of getting into a more active phase. Construction is going to be in the spring. Also working with the U.S. Army Corps on some emergency dredging permits. We're hoping to get that approved for 2027. That's the absolute fastest that they could possibly do it, even on an emergency basis. And then the fisherman's catch lease, just to respond to Commissioner Schmidt's remarks, I have talked to Ryan about taking legal action against them because of the unpaid rent. And we're still in a much better position than we were prior to approving that lease, because there were some ambiguities in the old lease, and now with this new one, it's a lot more ironclad. So we're in a much better position. And that's all I got.
On the building inspections, I wanted to when do you think that's going to happen?
I think within the next couple of weeks, I'd say, because they signed the contract, and I think it's just scheduling.
Yeah. I thought they sent out an email earlier last week saying they're on site.
Oh, right. Okay. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're starting the building inspections now. So we'll get
The surveying.
No. Yeah. This is different. Yeah.
That's different.
Oh, that's surveying the markers for each land. Okay. We're talking about we designated some buildings to be assessed, and one of them is the Pacific Choice building, and there's some issues we need to work with on that, and the other buildings. And so that's going to happen pretty soon. That's good to know. So, okay, thank you. With that, we're going to go to the, I think it's Jeff, Sandy with the communications and
report. Yep, my turn. So last week, started the week pretty good, got a lot of work done, moved forward on a lot of things. Christina was out most of the week, didn't come in until Friday. Rich put out an email in the middle of the week saying his priorities were going to be RV and the rate schedules. So spent most of my time trying to get those kinds of things done. Got a couple of Commissioner Niemer emails in the middle of the week. Tried to work on those and get respect for those. Got into the weekend, thought we had it all arranged. We got a lot of work going. Thought we'd be doing it on Sunday instead of on Friday. And of course, the power went out at 4:30 in the morning. So, and then it went out again at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and then again at 2 o'clock, and then again at 10 o'clock. He went ahead and put the agenda out, thinking that we were going to have all of this out because the power usually comes back. The power did not come back. Not only that, by the time I got in on Monday, I didn't have my networking in the day on Monday. So pretty much pivoted again, where are we at on financials? What I had put a lot of time into was the financial statements and the what I would call the second quarter review, but it's actually past the second quarter, but it's time to do another budget review because we're at a critical point in the funding. Was trying to get that all accomplished, and I put more effort into that than I did doing the audit, which is what Cal Muni needs, is the audit. At the last meeting, we talked about, I know that we had a committee, a finance committee, and we talked about doing an ad hoc. In all the work that I did last week, it's become even more apparent that I really do need to meet with an ad hoc committee from the board to review the 24-25 audit, as well as the 25-26 budget and the finance issues surrounding all of that. So I do not have any of those finance things that we talked about. And I'm hoping that we can appoint today. Last time it was Gerhard and John Evans on the committee. I think that that's not a standing committee or whatever. That's who was on it. But right now we need to get an ad hoc committee, and I'm hoping I can meet with them Monday or Tuesday of next week, perhaps before we do the RFP or the RV meeting. So if we meet before that, then maybe we can put something on that agenda as a report out from the ad hoc committee.
Mr. Chairman, at this time, I volunteer myself for that ad hoc committee.
Okay.
Same with me.
Can we vote on it without
any... I don't think it needs to be a vote. It's
okay, just remain the same finance committee that we have.
Be an ad hoc committee.
An ad hoc committee.
At this time, I'd like clarification on our bylaws, which state it's a standing committee, and we've never done a resolution to change that.
I think this is a different committee. This one is just focused on the...
Scope of it is for the audit for the year 2025-26.
Yeah, and the 25-26 budget.
I'm sorry, 24-25 and 25-26 budget. That would be the scope of the ad hoc committee.
We're going to bypass our bylaws of a standing finance committee after the debacle in July when there were secret meetings not held correctly. Holding finance committees.
I believe those committees were dissolved.
Standing committee was never dissolved. It's a resolution. It's in the bylaws. That never happened.
So at this
standing time, committee has been failing to meet during this financial crisis.
So at this time, I believe the chairman under our bylaws, he can appoint an ad hoc committee to review the 24-25 audit and the 25-26 budget.
We've always been able to before.
My point is that in the bylaws, there's a standing finance committee. Am I not correct?
The bylaws do have a standing committee. Those two gentlemen are on that committee, but I believe that our council warned us that we shouldn't have standing committees, so we have not been operating the standing committees based on that legal counsel we were given. And what we were told is that if we're going to do something, it should be an ad hoc and it needs to be on a specific item.
Yeah, we need to.
And that's what we're trying to accomplish here.
Specific items and a specific duration that the ad hoc committee would be
operating on.
Right.
I will recommend Gerhard and John John Evans to be on the 24-25 audit status and the 25-26 budget review.
At this time, I think we should consider placing it on a future agenda to dissolve all standing committees and go with legal counsel's advice on and operating ad hoc committees exclusively. We can see that in the future.
We have a folder going where, as you guys have made comments over the last couple months about we need to change the bylaws, I'm collecting them all. As we get close to the end of the year, I thought maybe we'd just do one and then kind of do all those corrections.
Perfect.
I'm up for that.
All right. USDA loan modification.
Yeah. Well,
you were on the email for that. So, we were supposed to have our plan to them on the 14th, and we did not have the plan ready. I reached out to them after that, let them know about some things that had happened, because in the interim, when we wrote to them and asked for the 30 days back on January 14th, give us to February 14th, we just learned that we were going to get that $1 million, and we thought we were going to be able to spend it in a number of different ways. Unfortunately, just a week later, we learned, no, we're going to be restricted. It can only be for tsunami repair. So we needed to pivot on what we were going to do there. That's why we got involved with Cal Muni and the WIST group, and we brought them in at the next meeting, at that January 28th meeting. You guys approved all that information. We still thought we might have time to get I needed to get the audit done and do some things so that our first meeting in February, they would be informed, Cal Muni would be informed, and then we thought some other things, the RV park thing should have come together. We thought maybe something with the fashion blacksmith might come together. We felt like all of those things were going to come together so that by the time we got to that first meeting in February, we would be able to meet the February 14th extension that we requested. That clearly didn't happen. So after our meetings, I reached out to them and let them know about why it changed because of the $1 million and how we got to spend that. Let him know that we brought in Cal Muni and the Weiss Group. Also let him know that we were still trying to work with Fashion Blacksmith on some restructuring and also
RV Parks.
The RV Parks were supposed to, yeah. So we thought by this meeting we would be done. So I'm going to report back to them after this meeting. It looks like we're probably going to go one more week into next week before we have something on the RV park. So they came back. They're very excited. They've worked with Cal Muni before and with the Meese Group. So they understand they're reputable people, and we think that they're going to help us out there. I also mentioned that we finally heard back also from iBank, which is another funding source that if I were to talk about the grants and how we're going to pay for grants. iBank does that for California. And so just today we heard back from them as well. And we have, we are doing something on Fashion Blacksmith. I assume something's been received on that. So again, a lot of things just happened in the last 2 days here that look very favorable for us. That to me, everything takes 2 weeks, right? We put something out there, it takes a week for people to get back to us, and then things have changed by then. And they change again. So I'm all full hope now and looking forward to next week and meeting with the finance committee so I can show them the things that we've been doing and the things that still need to be done in regards to these two documents and going from there.
And let me just add, it's interesting because the Weiss Law Group that we hired, they actually train the USDA on these loan applications. So we're very well positioned having them on our side to help with USDH.
How's the second insurance quote coming on that?
Have not reached out to your person. We tried to go and get the CEA, California Earthquake Authority, and the NEPA, which I think is the NEPA, which is the National Flood. I was hoping that Chris was going to help me get that taken care of and that he would make those applications. He came back to point out of the applications that we already have, there's flood in there, and it won't do the earthquake. But that's not what USDA asked for. USDA asked for, we need to go to those federal plan or state plan and have them give us quotes directly. And I thought he could do that for me since I didn't have enough time, and that didn't happen. So I'm going to have to do that.
Are we going to set deadlines on any of this or just keep kicking the can?
Well, I don't know. I guess if we're going back to USDA next week, we probably should have some answers on that. That's it for me.
CPRO request.
Oh, yes. Went to the court case that Linda had on Friday. I can talk about a couple things there. And she told the judge that our lawyer is telling me to not respond to any CPRAs. And I just want to say for the record, very loud and clear, that is not the case at all. I feel like I have been responding to the CPRAs. Linda Sutter has refused the last two packages that I put together. She's refused them. We're now making arrangements, which I haven't got to put them up online so she can get them that way. I've given them to her before in a thumbnail, but she's refusing to take those. Since she's refused those last two, I've had two more data drops, and now I have even more information to put on the OneDrive off in the cloud. I don't do that. I need to get it to Christina and do something like that because I'm not familiar with how that works.
But when you say thumbnail, you mean thumb drive.
Yeah, a thumb drive. Thumb drive, right. And otherwise, I think nobody's coming. Only one other person has come to me to say they don't feel like they have their CPRAs fulfilled. We are going to change to have staff do the confirmation that we've received the request. So that becomes more timely. Go ahead, Andy. What did you have?
The maintenance records have never been produced. Contracts and leases have never been produced.
Maintenance logs we do not have. They stopped doing those maintenance logs several years ago.
Required by USDA, I believe.
Okay. And what was the other one you said?
Contracts and leases.
Okay, I believe the contracts and leases are sitting up there on a desktop in the thing, so we just have to tell people that they're available for viewing. We have been for months since those original requests were done. Perhaps I didn't mention it to you. There was a gentleman here, maybe it was Ocean Gold. At the same time, you guys all asked for those, and I made a comment about we have them. They're upstairs on the desk, but I didn't officially write out to anybody, but they've been there. And let's take that another away. Clearly, somebody has told the Del Norte County that Mike Rademacher is still living at the Coast Guard, because we just got a list of all of our contracts that they keep on top of, which is a very nice list. And we will certainly be advising them that he does not. But that gave a nice list of all of our contracts and expiration dates and things like that, because that's another one of those outstanding projects that we have, is going through all of our leases to find out which ones have expired, which ones need to be renegotiated, et cetera. So we have a good starting point on that. Priority-wise, you know, we have like five projects that are just so close to being done. And when those are off, our whole schedule's free up. And so we're just, I know the fact that I'm always saying tomorrow, tomorrow, but tomorrow really is almost here. So I'm very hopeful. After everything that happened these last couple of days, I'm very hopeful that in the next meeting, if not the meeting after that, you're going to see all of these things off our desk. And we really are concentrating on revenue generation, because that's the one part of the table that I haven't really gotten to that would help us out tremendously. But we're aware of it, all I can say at this point.
So when you say train staff about TPRA, you're talking about so they can respond within that 10-day statutory requirement acknowledgement. Okay, that's good.
They were doing that before Sandy was hired, I believe. Pretty well.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Yes,
they don't know if they need trained.
We've got great staff.
Yes.
I got a shout out to our maintenance staff and staff in this office. It's incredible what they're getting done. What we have to do and what they're getting done is best I've ever seen in the 7 years as a commissioner.
Yeah.
The best staff. We've had a lot of staff. We were so overloaded with staff. That's where all our money was going. Anyway, we have a great staff, and I want to just say how fortunate we are to have them. So that's your report?
Yeah, I'm all done.
And so I don't have nothing left. Meeting's adjourned.
Public comment.
I'm sorry. Damn, really. Okay. I always forget that.
Meeting's not adjourned.
Meeting's not adjourned.
Sorry, Holmes, yeah.
No problem.
Just a couple of brief comments from a public perspective. I don't know why the three of you are sitting behind that table, because when I listen to the reports by the commissioners, you only have two commissioners on this staff that appear to run the show. So from a public standpoint, that's a poor representation to show the public. And that if you cannot seem to come together as a group of five, then you have some work to do yet. Because, like I say, the perception is right now, you've got two commissioners down here at the end of the table that are setting policy and reaching out and assembling different kinds of information that come back to the board and create a significant amount of chaos, where one commissioner has already been outed today when he wasn't aware of the fact that you already have a facilities plan in place. And this is pretty significant lapse by this board. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the perception I have as a member of the public. And if I have it, other people do. So you need to clean that up. And you need to have your commissioners that are going out and establishing policy or contacting other agencies, then they need to have the permission of the board to do so, instead of just, you know, cowboying it up type of an operation. Thank you.
Thank you. And my report would have been everything we covered today. I've been working with Sandy and Mike. And it would have been repetitious on everything we went over today, because I have been in contact on a daily basis with them. And
I understand.
Putting my input.
And, yeah.
But thank you very much, Sam, for that. But that's why I didn't have a report, was everything we talked about today, I worked on for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't find. find it necessary to just be repetitious. And
thank you very much.
Alicia had it on.
Alicia.
Hello. So mine is about. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I got a bunch of feedback and I was confused. So like on the financial report, I remember before she would usually have something attached. Is it because you said something about the power outages why there's no attachments? Because yeah, it's just a little weird. And then the other thing was regarding the CEPRAs, do you have them on a spreadsheet? Because I feel like if you would just have a spreadsheet and then mark them when they're completed, and then perhaps you could have people sign off to say they received them on the actual spreadsheet, just on the right-hand side or something, have it be signed off on. And then usually with public records, there's a place on the website where people can access them so they can look through previous CEPRAs to avoid like having to ask for one because it's already been produced. So I didn't know if you guys had addressed that or not. And then you said something at the end about revenue generation. Wasn't there assignments? I mean, I don't remember what happened because there's been so many things that were put in place and then took back and then all this shuffling back and forth. So I don't know what the current status is about commissioners having like assigned like duties, so to speak. So I thought there was a whole revenue. I mean, there should be with all the financial woes that we have. So I'm a little confused on that.
About the CEPRAs, and you put them online and then you could tell who looked at them or who didn't.
We already have all that going on. Okay. Not online, but we all the things that she talked about is already what we have. You guys have seen the spreadsheet. The thing is that it can't go public with somebody's name on it, so I have to alter it and take the names off because I'm supposedly not supposed to say. They can be anonymous if they want. And we are already doing all those things except putting them online. And a lot of times I talk in public session, I make a point of saying, if we have something up online, make a point of saying it. So if they're not waiting for me, some things with credit card statements, things like that. And the other thing that she mentioned, this was just public comment. So.
I think she asked for the balance sheet and profit and loss and why they were never posted, even once you...
Because I can't win. We're told if it's not in the agenda packet when the agenda goes out, then I can't get it to you later. And if I do give it to you later, I get it because it should have been there earlier. We were trying to make it be on the agenda on that night. I worked very early in the morning to make sure I could get it there. I even waited, for the tenant, waited for the power to come back on. We didn't realize the power would come off so quick or come back on so quick. We did everything we could. I came down here and I worked in this office
to try
and get work done.
Everybody understands the difficulty with that because the direction that was given to you by the board was to provide it when the packet came out, and you were catching a lot of grief if you gave it later. So the power outage, we completely understand the difficulty this time. So
thank you, appreciate that.
Okie dokie, no other public comment. Okay, well then the meeting
can
is adjourned.
Can you address the revenue generation piece, please?
I just adjourned the meeting.